and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief, the man accused of shooting and killing two employees of the Israeli embassy in Washington has now been charged with murder. Acting U.S. Attorney Jeanine Pirro.
We're going to continue to investigate this as a hate crime and a crime of terrorism. And we will add additional charges as the evidence warrants.
The Trump administration says Harvard can no longer enroll foreign students. Dean of the Berkeley School of Law, Erwin Chemerinsky.
This is an effort by the Trump administration, like other authoritarian rulers, to try to intimidate colleges and universities.
A 4-4 Supreme Court ruling means an online Catholic school based in Oklahoma cannot be taxpayer-funded. CBS's Jan Crawford.
They deadlocked 4-4, which means that the lower court ruling will stand, and that denied the state funding to this religious charter school, but it has no impact outside this case.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Ticks. These little parasites live for about 2 years.
Ticks don't die in the winter. They hibernate like a bear. So as soon as it gets above freezing, they potentially can come out.
That's Dr. James Thatcher, a physician at the Aspyrus Tick-Borne Illness Center. Summer is known as tick season because temperatures between 70 and 90 degrees are ideal for breeding and make the ticks more active.
I know Bambi is really cute in my backyard, but 1,000 ticks per deer. So you really want to keep your distance from Bambi. That's the first thing. So the other thing, obviously, you want to do in your yard, they have this liquid fence that you can, and it's a lot of these natural things, too. And you pour that on the edge of the yard. It's supposed to ward off the deer.
Common ticks here in Wisconsin are the wood and deer ticks.
The difference is the wood tick is more of a brown color with a light brown design on its back. The deer tick has kind of that burnt orange belly.
That's Ashley Johnson, a nurse practitioner also at Aspyrus Tick-Borne Illness Center.
And then the other one, that Asian longhorn tick now does live in the North Woods. So that is a bigger dog tick, but also has brown legs.
Then there is the nymph, the most infectious and tiniest one of them all.
So as the spring goes on and the ticks that have been mating on the deer start to produce babies, and those babies get a little bigger and they start seeking out their own blood source, those are the ones that are most likely to infect you.
And they're hard to see, so it's best to wear bright clothes to spot them.
Because it really doesn't want you to know it's there. First, it numbs the skin like a surgeon. Secondly, it gives you an antihistamine, so you don't itch right away. And the third thing it does is it gives you an anticoagulant so you don't bleed down your leg.
For Civic Media News, I'm Brittany Merlot.
It's the Brewers and the Pirates. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers scheduled to open a 4-game series tonight in Pittsburgh that continues over the weekend. Yesterday, they lost to Baltimore 8-4 in extra innings and had to bring in Tyler Alexander again to close the game.
I was ready to go today. I mean, even though it was emergency and before the 11th, after McGill threw, it's tough losing no matter what. So that's never fun. And as close as this ball game was, it definitely hurts to lose.
The crew is back in Milwaukee on Monday, Memorial Day, against the Red Sox. At the NFL meetings, owners deciding not to ban the Eagles' tush-push play. Meanwhile, Packers head coach Matt LaFleur asked, did they think about bringing receiver Davante Adams back to Green Bay?
Anytime you have a player of that caliber, there's definitely conversations that go into it. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. He is the ultimate competitor and he treats practice like it's game day.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Hi, this is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Join us each Monday morning at the top of the 10 o'clock hour for tips, tricks, and a whole lot of fun. The Kitchen's Open, only on WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight and cool with lows in the upper 30s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, a high in the low 60s. And up into the mid 60s for the holiday weekend with more sun than clouds. A chance of rain Monday night and Tuesday. Currently at 62 degrees.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time from beautiful Lake Wissota with Pat Kreitlow, also Peter Rapine from EBOM's World, talking about the Badger Honor Flight and even sports with Brady Ewing. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2-4. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Pete Schwabba, Pete Schwabba. He's a hell of a guy on the radio every night, keeping spirits high, that old Pete Schwabba. He's got a showman smile. Tune in on the dial. He'll keep you for a while.
All right.
He starred in a movie, Godfather of Green Bay.
All right. Welcome back.
I love it.
Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. That is my new theme song created by Mike Desitel, who
on
this,
good. You know,
it's AI.
It's jamming.
He just did AI, and this is what he says. He says, I wrote the song for the most part, making sure to put your name in twice in a row, which makes it funny to me.
Beach Wabba.
Added a few radio details. Oh, next time you guys come back, if you could acousticize that would be great.
Oh, game on.
He says,
challenge accepted.
I added a few radio details, then a skeleton outline of the movie. The Godfather of Green Bay, being sure to include the double negative detail. That's I get heckled by Tony Goldwyn's character, and I make fun of him for using a double negative. And then Mike says, I ran that through AI, and it spit out a pretty good set of lyrics. I tweaked it a little bit and then sent it to another AI source for recording that AI retweaked my retweaking and came up with the song. The music AI allows you to choose various genres. Wow. The effort, even though it was AI. Thank you, Mike. That
I'm
was really
impressed.
Fun. Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool.
Oh, we're going to get a lot of mileage out of that. I'm going to lose a lot of listeners over the next few months because we are playing
catchy.
The
it's
crap
in my head
out of that
already.
Thing.
It's in my head.
I'm living rent-free in Kim's head. I love it. On Stage for Cancer is here, folks. If you missed the last segment, we're talking about they made the popcorn pick of the week, which was fun. We read some texts. Our question of the night is, what celebrity passing would make you the most sad? And that was inspired by George Wendt's passing because he brought so much laughter to lives.
Norm.
And we will continue to read those texts as the show progresses. But right now we have a little while longer here with our pals on Stage for Cancer, sometimes known as Doctors in Recital, but you have this great event dependent, but you have this great event coming up. Serenades for Supper, and all the proceeds go to, I would assume, fighting cancer.
Yeah, so our cancer thrivers in our community that are either in the music industry, artists, or people who are small business workers, employers, this concept really arose from our knowing people who just were in that area. And when you get cancer and you have to fight cancer and you're ready to go to all your appointments, and now you realize you can't do your side gigs and you don't have that traditional backup plan of the traditional family medical leave and those kind of things. So we created this nonprofit to help those people out. And because we're musicians and we're friends with many musicians in the community, we decided to put on an event. Last year had a great result at the Winer. This year we decided to do the dinner and a show and something a little bit different but fun, and we're excited.
Chris, I love it.
Chris has a great show of a lot of variety, and everything's tied to food or drink, so it's pretty creative, and you will never see another thing like it.
It sounds like an extravaganza, and I don't use that word lightly, but it's for more information, go to onstage, the number 4 cancer, onstage4cancer.org. Ticket packages, dinner, drinks, silent auction, live auction, July 31st. It sounds like a phenomenal. And if you like what these guys do in here when they come on the show, and how great they sound. There's just more of that at this event, and it's a steal as far as I'm concerned. And it goes to a good cause, too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And who doesn't want broasted chicken? I mean,
sign me up.
Right?
$62.50 for broasted chicken. Where do I sign?
And one-of-a-kind entertainment.
We love you,
one
too, vegetarians.
We do.
I'm sure there'll be a salad there somewhere.
We do.
Can you guys sing something else for us? I love when you guys sing.
Sure.
Slow it down and get schmaltzy.
A little romance.
A little slow dance music.
These two are going to get romantic.
Oh, oh boy.
Oh, boy.
Conrad, start the camera.
It's amazing how you can speak right to my heart without saying a word. You can light up the dark. Try as I may, I could never explain what I hear when you don't say a thing. The smile on your face lets me know that you need me. There's a truth in your eyes saying you'll never leave me. The touch of your hand says you'll catch me if ever I fall. You say it best when you say nothing at all. All day long I can hear people talking out loud. But when you hold me near, you drown out the crowd. Oh, Mr. Webster could never define what's being said between your heart and mine. The smile on your face lets me know that you need me. There's a truth in your eyes saying you'll never leave me. The touch of your hand says you'll catch me if ever I fall. You say it best when you say nothing at all. The smile on your face lets me know that you need me. There's a truth in your eyes saying you. Touch of your hand says you'll catch me if ever I fall. Now you say it best when you say nothing at all. Oh,
I like that little. That was a very nice song. What is that song? Who's
it's old.
Is it?
I don't know who originally did it. Alison Krauss and Union Station.
Oh, that totally sounds like Alison Krauss. Wow,
but
that's
I don't
great.
Know. Let's ask Mr. Google who originally.
Do you guys like? What do you get really excited to play at an event like this, or even coming into a show like this? What kind? Do you have a specific music that really gets you excited to sing?
I like singing with the band. Which is why it's so exciting that the Power Tool Horns are joining us, because then I get to sing 9 to 5 with them, and it's way fun. It's so much fun to have like horns blasting, like bam.
You sent me videos of you singing Mamma Mia, and it was so
fun. Oh, the Mamma Mia. That was fun.
That was great.
That was fun because it was these, you know, fancy piano players playing Mamma Mia on the piano. And then I come out wearing my ridiculous polyester outfit.
It was fantastic.
Oh, you had a blast with it, though. You totally got into it.
Yeah, that was actually really fun.
Yeah. So, all right. So this is the kind of stuff they can hear there and some uptime. You're going to do Margaritaville at the event on the 31st. Okay. And when can people start getting tickets for Doctors in Recital? Does that just sell out more and more every year? Or do you get more more people every year?
Yeah. So Doctors in Recital is my other nonprofit hat. Yeah. And they, our show is in January, which is why the two are very separate, so I can still do them both. So the end of January is our show. We usually start selling tickets in October, but because we're all of our tickets are on sale through the Widener, it's basically when they tell us we can turn them on. So we'll probably start selling tickets September, October.
This is at the Riverside Ballroom.
This is at the Riverside.
That'll be really fun.
We're very excited.
What is
about
the capacity there? Is it?
Well, our seated tables we're gonna have just over 250. And we're going to have live stream so people can also stream for, you don't get the chicken, you don't get the live ambiance and the live painting and all the fun stuff. But we'll have lots of ways for people to continue to enjoy our events.
So, yeah, you can make a hot pocket at home and just watch it.
You could sit on your couch and fall asleep with your wife.
That's true. But you won't have the opportunity to participate in the wine pull.
No wine pull.
You can't buy the painting.
Mm-hmm. I know. Sounds like a great event. Check it out, folks. Onstageforcancer.org. It's onstage, the number 4, cancer.org. Can we get one more song out of you guys before we move on here? What do you got for us?
A little James Taylor.
Try a little James?
Yeah, whatever. Whatever you guys. I've never played a bad song.
When you say
show,
nothing at all, Keith Whitley.
Keith Whitley.
That's the song?
That's who originally released it.
He's an old, he's like an 80s country singer.
I remember that name, sure.
I would never
Beautiful
have
song.
In 1988, and then Alison Krauss and Union Station covered it 6 years later as a tribute to him on a tribute
album. I love it. If we just play, too, if we run out of time, we'll just let them play us out, right? We'll come back and read some texts, and thank you guys for being here. And if you finish before the break, that's fine, too. We can talk some more, but it's... On Stage for Cancer, Kim Shevchik, Paul, and Chris Piat. Great to have you guys here.
Thank you.
In my mind, I'm going to Carolina. Can't you see the sunshine? Can't you just feel the moonshine? Ain't it just like a friend of mine to hit me from behind? Yes, I'm going to Carolina in my mind. Karen, she's a silver sun. You best walk away and watch it shine. Watch her watch the morning come. Silver tear appearing now, I'm crying, ain't I? Gone to Carolina in my mind. Ain't no doubt in no one's mind that love's the finest thing around. Whisper something warm and kind. Hey, baby, the sky's on fire, I'm dying, ain't I? Going to Carolina in my mind. In my mind, I'm going to Carolina. Can't you see the sunshine? Can't you just feel the moonshine? Like a friend of mine to hit me from behind. Yes, I'm going to Carolina in my mind. Now, dark and silent late last night, I think I might have heard the highway call me. Geese in flight and dogs that bite. Signs that might be omens say I'm going, going to Carolina in my mind. With a holy host of others standing round me, still I'm on the dark side of the moon.
seems like it goes on like this forever. You must forgive me.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
An elegant, intimate experience in fine dining is right here at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge features choice cuts of Angus beef and fresh seafood prepared to perfection over an open flame grill, complemented by an extensive selection of fine wines and signature martinis. A passion for detail in exceptional dining. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Open Thursday through Sunday. Call and make your reservations today.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
From newspaper to radio to magazine to podcast, the way we get our information has grown, and now so has Midday Magazine. Our longtime beloved show has grown to become the Rapids Report. Now exclusively available online, listen at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, where it's streaming at WFHR.com. Catch up on previous episodes and spread the word. Midday Magazine is now the Rapids Report, streaming weekdays at 4 at WFHR.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's a Thursday night edition of Nightlight. I am Pete Schwab. Great to have you with me. And, it's not like a phenomenon, I would say, but I love days when it gets warmer as the day goes on, or even at night. Like, I was out with my daughter last night just hitting some stores when I got back to Marinette, and it was, like, warmer at night than it was during the day. It doesn't happen that often.
Yeah, it kind of felt like that today a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still a little chilly.
Well,
I'm wearing a sweatshirt and jeans,
totally.
And it's May. Like, that's usually when I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's just a sign of hopefully good weekend weather. What celebrity passing would make you the most sad? That is our question of the night here at Nightlight. Let's get through some text. We're a little bit behind. On social media, Monica Hale says, Trevor Noah, because he had a challenging upbringing and has endured a lot, but has used his fame to call attention to the struggles of those less fortunate and to advocate for human rights. And he does it all while being funny. I have to be honest, I don't know much about Trevor Noah. I watched The Daily Show when it started, like back when Craig Kilborn hosted it. And then Jon Stewart for a while. And then it's still a good show. Sometimes you just get sick of something, even though it's funny, well-written. And Trevor Noah was great too. It was one of those things where Stewart was kind of a hard host to replace because he has such avid fans. But Trevor Noah stepped in and by all accounts was excellent. Thank you, Monica. Who was yours again, Conrad?
Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler, that's right. And mine was Bruce Springsteen. Okay. Annie from Watertown. Oh, Annie is not happy with us tonight. She says, Pete Schwabba. Capital OMG. What a horrid question.
Well,
it that's a little morbid. Kind of, but yeah. we're celebrating their lives by saying we don't want them to pass away, Annie. We'd be sad. So you see how I backed into that and made that a positive? Annie says, really bad question. This is a separate text. Really bad question of the day, even if not a funeral day. I don't know if I understand that part.
Maybe.
She does not like the question.
She does not like
and you know
the
what?
Question.
They can't all be winners. We can't bat 1,000, Annie, but it's still nice to hear from you either way. Anna from Madison, she's in the 608, says, hi, Pete and Conrad. The celebrity passing that would make me sad is Ringo Starr. Yeah. Well, there's two Beatles left, actually, but Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr, that would leave one Beatle. And they're not going to be around forever. I think both those guys are in their 80s. So, but a great one. Thank you, Anna. Jim from Stoughton says, Bill Murray. Yeah. Such a funny dude. Loved him in Meatballs. Loved him in Meatballs. Jim, he's great in everything. Even when he's more of a serious, even if the role is more serious. Bill Murray is just a phenomenal actor. And he's funny even when he's not trying to be because he's such a good actor. He brings humor to roles that are more serious because he's Bill Murray. Lost in Translation. He was great. I mean, he's really good in everything, but that's one that, to me, took him to another level. Terry from, where is Terry? Is that her last name or is that the town? That's her last name, correct? Well, either way, Terry is texting us.
Yes.
T-E-R-I. She spells it like Terry Barr.
Terry Ryan.
Terry Ryan. There is a Terry Ryan, a famous Terry Ryan, too. She says Carol Burnett, another great one. And Carol Burnett is getting up there, too. She's no spring chicken. So I don't want, now I'm making it worse. I'm saying, oh, she's really getting up there. You're going to be sad very soon. I don't mean to say that. But Terry is in the 414, and she says Carol Burnett. Thank you, Terry. She's listening on WAUK. A fine outfit. Jameson from Pennsylvania, he's in the 814. He says, has to be Anthony Hopkins. And musically, Billy Joel. Second Billy Joel, Rich LoCascio, said Billy Joel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a sad one. But nobody's really going younger here. I mean, older people are more likely to pass away, but I'm just saying. Ed from Madison says Mel Brooks. Wait a minute. This is terrible, but I think Mel Brooks already passed away. I'm going to the Google. No, he is 98. Wow. That's a great one. All right. Well done. I thought Mel Brooks had passed away. Thank you, Ed. Mel Brooks is a genius, comedic genius. Brian from Milwaukee. Oh, I already read that one. That was lube related. We'll steer clear of that one. Tom in West Dallas says Patrick Stewart. Okay. Wow. Really great variety here in these texts. Love it. Thank you, everybody, for your texts and calls. Did we ever get the phone situation figured out, Conrad?
No.
Really? Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says Jerry Mathers as the Beaver. He did play the Beaver, but is that, I think that's, that could be a detective question from a few days ago. Thank you, Tyler. This is, tomorrow is road trip day.
It is.
And we're not really going to get to do anything about road trip because that would be a fun question.
Yeah, I'm not making any road trips really this Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere. I like a good road trip.
I hope I road trip up to Door County soon. All this talk that we've had about Door County makes me want to go there.
What was it that put you over the top? There was a film festival there recently. There's an art fair there. We had
Shane on. It's not about any of the events or anything. It's just getting up there, enjoying the scenery, exploring something I didn't see last time.
Got you thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful area. I love it. I have not been there. We usually, for a while, we were going in the spring because, like, all of our spring breaks didn't align. So one year we went to Florida, but, like, Door County's so cheap in the spring.
Yeah.
And we would go there. It's phenomenal.
You just drive, you know, it's not that far away.
Yeah. Close beauty. All right. My thanks to Cure for Cancer, also known as Doctors in Recital, after a very short news break here, where Civic Media's news team will keep you informed. We are coming back with Milwaukee-based director, producer, cinematographer, and professor Tate Bunker. He has done some great work, and we're going to talk about it next. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Drop the pedal and go. Go.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
CBS News Brief, the man accused of shooting and killing two employees of the Israeli embassy in Washington has now been charged with murder. Acting U.S. Attorney Jeanine Pirro.
We're going to continue to investigate this as a hate crime and a crime of terrorism. And we will add additional charges as the evidence warrants.
The Trump administration says Harvard can no longer enroll foreign students. Dean of the Berkeley School of Law, Erwin Chemerinsky.
This is an effort by the Trump administration, like other authoritarian rulers, to try to intimidate colleges and universities.
A 4-4 Supreme Court ruling means an online Catholic school based in Oklahoma cannot be taxpayer funded. CBS's Jan Crawford.
They deadlocked 4-4, which means that the lower court ruling will stand, and that denied the state funding to this religious charter school, but it has no impact outside this case.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
It's the Brewers and the Pirates. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers scheduled to open a four-game series tonight in Pittsburgh that continues over the weekend. Yesterday, they lost to Baltimore 8-4 in extra innings and had to bring in Tyler Alexander again to close the game.
I was ready to go today. I mean, even though it was emergency and before the 11th, after McGill threw, it's tough losing no matter what. So that's never fun. And as close as this ballgame was, it definitely hurts to lose.
The crew is back in Milwaukee on Monday, Memorial Day, against the Red Sox. At the NFL meetings, owners deciding not to ban the Eagles' tush-push play. Meanwhile, Packers head coach Matt LaFleur asked, did they think about bringing receiver Davante Adams back to Green Bay?
Anytime you have a player of that caliber, there's definitely conversations that go into it. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. He is the ultimate competitor and he treats practice like it's game day.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The summer box office kicks into high gear this weekend with two huge releases squaring off for your hard-earned money. Let's start with The Granddaddy, which is the final installment of the Mission Impossible franchise, at least for now. Mission Impossible: The Final Reckoning continues the story from 2 years ago, where we left with a train hanging off a cliff. The film is pulling about an 80% on Rotten Tomatoes because some critics apparently don't know how to party. Not to be outdone, the live-action version of Lilo and Stitch also opens this weekend and is also anticipating massive returns at the gate. In the film, which is pulling a 73% on Rotten Tomatoes, a fugitive alien helps a young Hawaiian girl heal her dysfunctional family. If you're looking for some good old-fashioned, cringeworthy adult comedy, check out the film Friendship, which goes into wider release this weekend. If you're in a small town, you might have to road trip for the laughs, but it might be worth it as it's pulling a 90% on RT. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight and cool with lows in the upper 30s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, a high in the low 60s. And up into the mid 60s for the holiday weekend with more sun than clouds. A chance of rain Monday night and Tuesday. Currently at 62 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time from beautiful Lake Wissota with Pat Kreitlow. Also, Peter Rapine from EBOM's World talking about the Badger Honor Flight and even sports with Brady Ewing. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2-4.
Tomorrow night on Nightlight, we have a show put together. It is an original show. It will not be live. I had to take a night off for to attend some friend stuff, which my weekend will be a little longer, so I'm excited about that. I'll see some friends and family this weekend, which will be fun. But we do have a show. We won't be live, so there will be no question of the night. But we've got a lot of fun stuff happening. Emerson Lehman will be here from WBAY. He is one of the morning anchors there. Always fun when Emerson comes in. Director Michael Collins will be on the show talking about his film Almost Sunrise, which is my classic movie pick of the week, just in time for Memorial Day. And then the latest member of the WGBW Civic Media team, Eliza Cusson, will be here. And it's still a bar band Friday night. Terry Barr, co-host of Max Inc. Radio, will be here bringing new, most excellent tunes and great conversation. That's all coming up tomorrow night on Nightlight. Hope you guys have a great weekend. We do have some show left and a great guest. I'm very excited to have this gentleman on the show. He's an extremely talented cinematographer, director, producer. He's Milwaukee-based. He also teaches film at UWM. Unless something happened since we last spoke. I hope he still has that gig. But he joins us now over the stream here on Nightlight. Tate Bunker. Hey, buddy.
Hey, how's it going, Pete?
Good. How are you? Doing?
Good. You can hear me?
I can hear you fine. You sound great.
Great.
You look great. You look like an actor. And that's you got that going for you, even though you're behind the camera.
I appreciate it.
You got it. So I haven't spoken with you in a while. I know I've interviewed you, I think, on PBS and maybe on past on the radio. I don't know if I've interviewed you on the radio, but you made this great film called The Field, and we talked about that on PBS. I just was curious. It's been a few years. What happened with that, and can people see that anywhere? It was such a good film.
Oh, yeah. No, you can still see it. Still streaming. It did a big North American run, but currently it's doing its international run, and it's done really well. It's been dubbed in various languages. It's kind of fun to see it in German. But the you can still see it, and you know, you can find it online. So it's just The Field, 2019. But it's still running its course. And also one thing to thank you for that show is how much it got picked up or syndicated on various other PBS shows. That was really kind of a great way great thing for the film. So I really thank you for that, Pete. Oh,
please. You were a great guest, and it's a great movie. So happy to do it. And I would love to see more independent films made in Wisconsin. I think there are those of us that make them here because we love the state and we live here or whatever, but it would be great if the incentives came back and we encouraged even more of this. But I feel, Tate, like it has to start young. Like, you've got a young child. I've got kids. You've got to work that culture into them young, and I would love to see us become more of a state like that. So it's just a no-brainer that we have incentives and encourage other artists to come here, you know?
Yeah. Well, they're making the push now, and I've, in the past, like maybe about 10 years ago, worked with a lot of people, even with the Zucker Brothers in a way, to try to kind of push another push then, and it, you know, eventually nothing happened. So I feel like the people who are doing it now, they really have a really good chance, and they've done the best work so far.
I hope so. So I got off on a tangent there. I want to keep the focus on The Field because you cast Veronica Cartwright. Yeah. All right. So you're a director, you're well respected, you're great at your craft, but it still must have been a little bit, not intimidating, but what were you thinking going into that film with this woman who has been in The Birds and Alien and, you know, I think she's the last shot of Invasion of the Body Snatchers, right? When Donald Sutherland. Yeah. So what was that like?
It was amazing. Like, I always keep thinking about that famous shot in the original Alien, you know, where the thing comes out of the stomach.
Yeah.
The very next shot is her face, like with the blood splattered on it. And she's just so good at kind of screaming and, like, even, you know, spitting up the cherry pits and Witches of Eastwick. And so she's just amazing. So I was just really excited and happy. But we had a lot of conversations prior on the phone, and she was coming back from New York and was like, why should I go all the way back to LA and then come right back to Wisconsin? So I'll just come early. And so she was, you know, great on the phone and willing to accommodate. And so I felt like, I got really lucky. Not only like really a legend, but also someone who I felt like I could really work with and we could really collaborate.
Yeah. Was she hard to get the script to, or was she hard to find and get her to commit to the project?
No, I had for my previous film. Sorry about that. My previous film, I had met a casting agent through the distributor of Tri-Coast Pictures. And so I'd gone out to L.A. and kind of spent time with her, actually trying to do another film that I wanted to do. It was more of a political narrative, but it was just too big. And I'm a low budget filmmaker. And so I had to put it aside. But it'd been a while. I'd spent so much time trying to find money that I was like, I need to make a movie. And so I just, with what funds I had, or I'd already kind of was gearing up. So I shifted to this other film, which was The Field. So,
it's a great film. You got a great cast. Your wife, Kara, is a great actor. Kara Mulrooney, she's in it. She's like, I almost want to equate her to a young Veronica Cartwright in the sense that she had a great scream too during the film. There's some great, some scary moments in it. And let's talk about Tate. Like, you talked about how you like to make independent films. What's the minimum? I mean, have some fun with this. What's the minimum amount you can raise to make a film that looks halfway decent? Like, you're a schooled guy, you know what you're doing. You've shot, you've directed. So it's probably different for a guy like you, but like, if someone came to you and said, I want to make a movie, how much do I need?
Yeah. So if you're just like saying, hey, I wrote this script and I just want to direct it and I need to hire the crew and put it all together, I would say like minimum, like bare minimum would be $250,000. If you wanted it to at least try to get, some name in there, and to have a real production value to it, which is, there's so many movies made today. Like, unless you're doing something different, right? Like, you think of like 100 Beavers or something like that, which, that's a different process. That's really worked out and it's been very successful. So, those are, kind of unique films. So, but the industry is pretty much expects you to keep a certain production value.
Absolutely. What kind of movies do you like to hate? Do you watch with a critical eye? Can you enjoy a studio film to watch, or do you prefer independent films?
Oh, I like independent films. I like really, I don't watch any of the kind of Marvel kind of stuff. I think of those as kind of fast food, which can be fun,
right?
But I'd like to get a nice, good gourmet film. My girls are now of age where I feel like I'm starting to actually watch movies again. So it was a good window there I haven't watched. So I have a lot of catching up to do, and it's been really nice. So I would say I'm a little bit behind the times right now.
My guest is Tate Bunker. He is a Milwaukee-based producer, director, cinematographer, and he is also a professor of film at UWM and a very talented guy. So, Tate, I want to ask you, what is your first love? Is it cinematography, or is it directing, or is it something else?
I'm a filmmaker, and I kind of, in a way, like you asked, if someone like has a budget and doesn't know that where I can make that film, I can take $250,000, I can make it look like $1 million, because I'm a different type of filmmaker where my background is experimental film, and so I do everything. I kind of write it, produce it. I don't want to produce it, but I sometimes have to. But directing and shooting is really where I'm at. But when I started, I just really wanted to make a movie. I had a story that I really wanted to tell, and I didn't know anybody. And so I it was like out in kind of the woods in Florida at the time. And I was like, I found this Super 8 camera and started making films in high school. My friends thought it was really silly, but I only shot it Super 8 because no one else was going to film it. And so I kept filming it. And then when I finally got to go to film school, people kept asking me, Hey, will you shoot my film? And then I ended up people asked me shooting features, and I loved doing it, but I just didn't think like, I just was more focused on making a movie. And so I don't know if that's the director. But as I kept going, I realized that, like, really at my heart, I'm a visual artist. And so being a cinematographer and making the image making of the movie, visual storytelling is really, really important to me. And so that's why I felt like The Field it's like a kind of a paranormal love story, but it's unique. It's different. It's like really pretty. Yeah. It's really lovely to look at, which is kind of unique for a scary sort of movie. But it's there is some scares in there, but I just love, in a lot of my films, I just like making people feel a bit uncomfortable, a little edgy, and not knowing what to do or expect. But all my films have a kind of art house sort of effect because I come from that experimental background. Yeah. And I teach in an experimental film school. But my newest film that I'm currently in post-production is actually a real change. I just felt like I had to kind of, or wanting to kind of reinvent myself. And so I'm working on a documentary, a feature length documentary.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, I'm excited to see that. Do you have influences, like, when it comes to, and I'm asking you about cinematography, just because the field, you said it looked pretty, it did look gorgeous. I think you shot it in Manitowoc, the Manitowoc area, on this great farm, and it just looks stunning. Do you have cinematography influences?
Yeah, I mean, I have a ton of influences. I would say the biggest influence for me would be that kind of new wave period that hit all the globe. With the faster film speeds and smaller cameras. And so that period to me is really exciting. But I, as much as I love tons of filmmakers, I always come back. I'm at my heart. I'm Stanley Kubrick is my largest influence. I can't seem to escape him in any way. And just how powerful, like, every image he has and how well it's constructed. Also, I'm a big fan of Tarkovsky. Andrei Tarkovsky. And so watching his films are very visual and kind of, when I watch a movie, you know, it's just those kind of old foreign films are the ones that, you know, Kurosawa, like watching those films were the ones that made me like, oh, I want to make movies. And I immediately was always wanting, I mean, my first couple of films that were obviously like these narratives that was influenced by Hollywood, but eventually I was like, oh, I like these really weirder forms of expression, but all my films are narrative and commercial.
Yeah. We have about a minute left, Tate. What's your favorite Kubrick film? Did you like Eyes Wide Shut?
No, I did, but there's parts of it that just felt like it wasn't finished. Like all of his movies, he makes huge decisions at the last second. Like he cut all the narration out of 2001, A Space Odyssey. So that, you know, that kind of moment didn't get to happen. And I feel, it felt like, you know, it just didn't feel like 100% his, but definitely there's scenes and moments that are like without a doubt Kubrick.
Yeah. Listen, buddy, this was fun. I'd love to have you come back on another time. I had all these questions about UWM too, but maybe next time you could come on and talk about what that film school is like, and we can get a plug in for that because I think, but keep up the great work. I can't wait to see what you do next. And let's talk soon. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you so much, Peach, for all having right. me on.
Peach. Anytime. That's Tate Bunker. Check out The Field, folks. Go on Roku and just, you can stream it. He also made another film called Little Red, which is very creepy. And Mark Metcalf from Animal House is in both of those films, and he is also a Milwaukee actor. And my pal Mark Borchardt is in The Field, and Mark is a terrific guy too. So Milwaukee strong, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to come right back and close this thing down. We've got a couple texts we've got to read, and then we got a song to close the show that just makes me feel great. That's coming up. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
The Trump administration has announced tariffs on trade with other countries. While there has been a lot of uncertainty as to how these policies will evolve, it's generally agreed that tariffs can be inflationary, and they have also sparked volatility in the financial markets. How should you respond to tariffs as an investor? Try to build and maintain a diversified portfolio. Tariffs will likely hit some industries harder than others, so consider spreading your dollars among an array of stocks, bonds, and other securities. Diversification cannot guarantee a profit or protect against a loss, but at any given time, some asset classes may be up or not hit as hard as others. Finally, follow a long-term strategy based on your risk tolerance, time horizon, and financial goals. You'll be better equipped to cope with market gyrations that can result from tariffs or from any other event.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoke, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a good recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open. We'll tell you something good.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together. We did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. I am Pete Schwabe, your host for this evening's broadcast, which is dwindling, winding down. My weekend is about to start, Conrad. You are not taking a day off tomorrow. What does that mean? You just sit here and you look over here like I'm here and you pretend to produce, or what do you do?
Yeah, pretending to produce the whole time. Now, I'm actually producing Mind on the Mayor tomorrow morning.
Oh, look at you. Todd Michaels has the day off?
Yeah, well, kind of. Yeah, but
do you think Todd's earned that?
I think he's well above deserved that. Yes, he has.
Last time I talked to him, he said he hasn't taken a day off in whatever. And I didn't. I was like, you got to be joking. Like,
that's definitely a Todd line right there. Yeah.
On the stream, Dave says James Spader would be a celebrity he would see. He would hate to see pass, or it would make him sad. Yeah, that's an interesting one. He's had a great career. Susan from McFarland, who was trying to call earlier. Sorry about the phones, Susan. Conrad was talking to his grandmother long distance, and we couldn't take the call. Susan says, hi, you guys. I did try to call in earlier. I would say that I agree about Bruce Springsteen, but I also would like to mention Willie Nelson. Oh, Willie Nelson. That'll be a sad passing. Susan says, because he's the last of the highwaymen, and he has done so much for the farmers with his farm aid. And it's going back 40 years. No kidding. That's a great one too, Susan. She says, great music tonight, and I always enjoy listening to your movie picks of the week. I have learned so much from you. Wow. Thank you very much, Susan. I really do appreciate you listening. This is much more fun when there's listeners, folks. So you guys are a big part of the show. Steady Eddie, he's in the 608. He sent a text message that I'm about to read on the radio. Pete, in honor of David Letterman, here is my top 10 list. Reduced to 6 because of time constraints. Celebrities I would miss and make me sad if they died tomorrow. Drum roll, please. Conrad, let's do that. There we go. I didn't even have to ask. He was ready. Number 6, Dick Van Dyke. He finally meets his maker at age 99, tripping over that stupid living room footstool like he did on the Dick Van Dyke show. Number 5, Bob Dylan. He's still with us. Wait, Dick Van Dyke is still with us. Right?
Yeah, no, he's
saying... Did he die? Said he finally meets his maker at age 99. I thought that meant he had... I thought maybe he had some inside info. He's a connected guy. Bob Dylan, he is still with us, but at almost 84, he's certainly knocking on heaven's door. Well done, Steady Eddie. Number 4, Paul Simon. Yeah. The nearer his final destination, the more he's slip sliding away. I see what you did there, buddy. Jack Nicholson, you're damn right God ordered the Code Red. One of the movies I can never turn off, by the way. Number 2, James Taylor, going to Carolina one last time. Steady Eddie, his first celebrity he would miss the most if he passed away. Number 1, Paul McCartney gets to the end of the long and winding road. Steady Eddie, wearing the shades emoji tonight. P.S. Tonight's question made me a little sad, Pete, and on the Christmas Eve of weeknights. Thanks, Schwabba, in all caps. So, all right, a couple of our most faithful listeners, Conrad, are coming after me about the question.
You know, I was going to say something, but...
Well, your job as a producer, buddy, is to make sure I don't make a mistake.
Well, you know, I wanted to...
No.
I wanted to see you crash and burn. All right.
I knew something was up. I think it's a fun question, and you're professing your love for these people by saying this stuff. I mean, no one here gets out alive, so we're celebrating these people, and I think it's great. So, great text tonight, everybody. Lots of fun tonight. Fun show. Thank you to the, not the doctors in recital, the cure for cancer.
On stage
for cancer. Yeah. Great stuff. They are always fun. And thank you to Tate Bunker as well. Check out The Field. You can stream it. It's a scary movie set on a farm in Wisconsin. And who do we have? Tuesday night, we've got Rob Martin. He might be in studio. Rob just texted me and said he might drive up from Milwaukee.
That's awesome
to be here. It's fantastic. And yeah. Rob, speaking of the Godfather of Green Bay, Rob played a hitman named Chuck Martinelli in the movie, who plays my character's. Well, I don't want to say anything. If you haven't seen the movie, spoiler alert. But Rob was great. He auditioned, and we needed kind of a heavy, and we had another guy audition who was too scary for the hitman role. I know that sounds weird, but it was a comedy, and Rob also had that kind of vibe. Where he kind of looked like a tough guy, but he was funnier too. And he did a phenomenal job. And he created a yacht rock band that he had to quit because of an injury. And the yacht rock band has since moved to Las Vegas. But Rob is a great singer. He's an extremely talented guy. He might be here in person Tuesday, but he'll be on either way. And our pal Rob Paravonian will be on Tuesday. That's our next live show, by the way, at 6:35 too. So that'll be a fun show too. Yeah. Monday we are off. It'll be a best of show, but please still tune in.
Well, Monday actually is a big comedian show. All your buddies.
Well
Mike
done.
Mercury, Mike Siegel, Bill Leff, and Jim Pardo.
Some good laughs on Monday. That'll be great. All right. Thank you everybody for listening. Thank you for your text. Have a great, safe Memorial Day weekend. Con Man, have a great, safe Memorial Day weekend. No road trips. Just chill. And we are going to close the song with one of my all-time favorites. Have a great weekend, everybody. Good night, Wisconsin.
Ourselves. What? Think about it, you guys. What would Brian Boitano do? He'd figure out a way to rescue Terrence and Philip before they're executed.
We can't do anything. Our mom's organization is too strong.
Well, then we'll round up all the grounded kids in town and start our own organization. An organization to help save Terrence and Philip.
Hey, yeah, our own secret club.
I guess that could work.
We have to try. What would Brian Boitano do if he was here right now? He'd make a plan and he'd follow through. That's what Brian Boitano do.
When Brian Boitano was in the Olympics skating for the gold, he did 2 sal cows and a triple lutz while wearing a blindfold.
When Brian Boitano was in the Alps fighting grizzly bears, he used his magical fire breath and saved the maiden's bear. So what would Brian Boitano do if he were here today? I'm sure he'd kick an ass or two. That's what Brian Boitano do.
That's what Brian Boitano do. He called the kids in town and tell them to unite for truth. That's what Brian Boitano do.
here.
Oh, bye.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. The man police believe killed two employees of the Israeli embassy in Washington was charged with murder today. Here's Acting U.S. Attorney Janine Pirro.
This is a horrific crime, and these crimes are not going to be tolerated by me and by this office.
CBS's Scott McFarland says the victims, Yaron Lashinsky and Sarah Lynn Milgram, were planning a life together.
Lashinsky and Milgram were a couple. The Israeli ambassador said Lashinsky had bought an engagement ring with the intention of proposing to his girlfriend next week in Jerusalem. Lashinsky recently posted of expanding the circle of peace with our Arab neighbors, while Milgram, a Kansas University graduate, wrote that she had a passion for peace building and fostering understanding between different peoples.